Vectis Radio. Vectis Radio. FM 104.6. Bringing the island's community together.
The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. Call us at PC Consultants on 01983 811 711 to find out more about our award-winning service.
So, good afternoon. We've had students in all week from Ride Academy. And what we do is, when they're here for the best part of a week, we say at the beginning of the week, we need you to come up with a topic of discussion for a whole hour's worth of speech. And that's exactly what they've done. So let's welcome Jordan, first of all, Jordan Lata from Ride Academy. So welcome, Jordan.
Thank you.
And also we've got Esme with a Z, Skinner, and you've come up with the two topics that we can talk about today.
Yes.
So let's outline the first one, Jordan.
So our first topic is about different teaching methods in schools and how they could influence students' learning.
Okay, and the second topic is?
We believe that at the island there's not a lot to do anymore for young people, and that things that were there are sort of shutting or just aren't there anymore or not accessible.
Okay, there'll be people screaming at the radio saying that there's plenty of things to do, but we should probably just sort of outline it a little bit by saying we're looking at sort of between, I don't know, 12 and 17, 12 and 18.
Yeah.
And we had this discussion on Ride yesterday, and what people should remember is that you've lost your ice rink, and a lot of people used to use it.
Yeah.
You used to use it. That's a big chunk of your life, and it's disappeared. But hopefully, fingers crossed, there is still talk of. I mean, it hasn't been demolished yet, has it?
No.
But it is going. Is it going to rack and ruin? Was there a problem with the roof? Did they fix that?
I haven't heard much. They don't really talk about it anymore.
We will come back to that. Okay, that's our second topic. So, in the meantime, we want to talk about just again. This is teaching.
Teaching methods, yeah.
Teaching methods. So, there you are. You're 16 now. So far, I mean, how many schools have you been to?
I've never moved to school, so only one primary, one secondary, and now sixth form.
Okay, how does it? You know, if you had some positives to say about your school and some negatives, what would they be?
Don't
mention any names.
I won't. I'll focus on high school because that's where most of my memories are.
Okay.
Some positives is that throughout, we have always been encouraged to not be scared. I mean, I've been encouraged to join performing arts shows, and it's really helped me break out of my shell. And I'm really thankful to teachers who have helped me do that. And if they're listening, they'll know who they are. But some negatives, I would say, towards the beginning, there wasn't a lot to kind of inspire me personally to want to do well. And that's kind of had to come from myself. But now there have been improvements, I will say. But at the beginning, it was lacking.
So would it be fair, you picked this up, you run with it, and you found, you know, that, hey, hang on a minute, if you want something, you've got to go and do it yourself.
Yeah, of course. But as I said, that was what had to happen at first. But now, ever since some changes have been happening at school with the new building and new staff, we've had a lot of increase in grades have been going up. We've had a lot of talk within the school about them saying about how they each year has been getting better and better, and they expect more and more without applying too much pressure.
Okay,
which has been really good.
Which is good. It's going in the right direction, because a lot of people were a little bit concerned a few years ago, but they put things in place now.
Absolutely,
and it is working. How many? Just out of interest, how many youngsters are in each class?
Your typical class for a core subject like English or maths get about 30, but some options, depending on the size, you can have a massive group of 30 plus. And personally, my experience with music, we at GCSE, we had 8 because just nobody chose it. So it really varies on what kind of class you do.
You just imagine, it must be looking at it from a teacher's point of view, it must be incredibly difficult to pick out someone's talent in a room full of 30 to 40 kids.
Oh, absolutely. And there's no fault to the teachers there. They do the best they can. They they take time out of their own lives, but like at home, to work on extracurricular activities, homework, schoolwork, and I mean, I think they've done a fantastic job, but you can't help but think that at first, as a kid, you don't really think about that, and you just kind of go, oh, well, this isn't happening to me, whatever. And that's kind of the perspective that I grew up in.
Okay. Well, sometimes you've got to take it upon yourself, and it sounds like you have.
Yeah.
Which is great. Esme, what about you? What's the positives, what's the negatives?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Jordan that the school has definitely improved over time. I think the positives are definitely, for me, the teachers. Like, and I'm not just saying this, every teacher that I have in sixth form right now is great, and I like all of them. And I think throughout of high school as well, I've had a lot of great teachers that, I mean, I passed my GCSEs, so something must have gone right, and they must have done something right. So
so great in what way? Are they guiding you? Are they giving you good advice? Are they teaching you in the way that you want to be taught? What's great about it?
Yeah, definitely. I think they're all just nice people, and they definitely put the work in themselves as well. They do extra things at home and bring in, and they work really hard because they want you to pass. It's not just their job; it's they really want you to pass. They actually care about their students and the people in the school.
So, what about the negatives? If the, you know, just say for instance, you roll on the clock 2 years and you're leaving, and they say to you, "Is there anything we could change to make better here?" What would you do?
I'm not sure. I think definitely when we started, there was a lot of negatives in the school. There was a lot of emphasis on things that behavioural things that I don't think should have been there. Like, I don't know, they at one point they were emphasising a lot more on your uniform as opposed to how you were performing as a person. So there was there used to be a rule where you had to wear your blazers all the time unless teachers told you to take them off, and it just seemed there was more of an emphasis on, you know, how you're presenting yourself as opposed to how you were doing in school. But I feel that that's been rectified now.
Is that because you're sixth form and you don't have to wear a uniform?
That's true.
So is that plays a part. What do you think on uniform, though? Does that make a difference when you go into that classroom and start working? Does it? You know, you're disciplined enough to turn up, you're disciplined enough to have your tie on straight, does that help you?
I think it's definitely important to have that uniform in place, and especially in sixth form now, we get to choose what we wear, but we still have to wear something that's smart. But that makes sense because, you know, in a few years we're going to be in the working world, and you can't just wear what you want to a job. It's, you know, it reflects on how we're going to be when we're older. I think uniform's important, but your learning is more important than what you wear.
So just cast your minds back a few years, because obviously there was a time in the past when you could actually leave school at the age of 16. I'm not saying you can't leave school at the age of 16 now. You can only leave if you've got something to go to. But if you just say, for instance, if you go back, I left school at the age of 16. I couldn't wait to get out of school. I just could not wait to get away from that kind of. I was ready for the grown up world. Is there a difference now when you step up to from 16 to right? I'm staying on for another 2-3 years. Is there a difference in the way that you're perceived by your teachers? The way that they treat you, they start treating you like adults for a start.
Yeah, definitely. The way that teachers treat you is a lot different, and you know, there's not so much discipline because you don't need to be punished. Because if you do something bad, you just leave. You're there because you chose to be there. It's not that they're keeping you there. Like, you can leave any minute if you want to, but to get your A-levels, you have to stay on. So I think the teachers definitely treat you with more. You know, you're an adult and you chose to be there, and there's definitely a lot more mutual respect between both people.
Okay, you seem two pretty relaxed people, and yet you are doing A levels.
Yes,
yes.
And I would imagine the exams will come round thick and fast this year.
Yeah. Well, currently we're doing AS levels, which are like the stepping stone, I guess. It's more of the introduction to A levels. But there are still exams at the end of this year, and then we'll get the real difficult A level ones next year as well.
Okay, and you still seem pretty relaxed about that. Will you start getting a little bit tetchy, you know, as time goes on,
well,
and you get closer to it?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I tend to get the work done, and I do whatever I need to do, but I tend to not focus on the actual exams until they're like a week around the corner or something.
What advice are you getting from teachers? You know, because they do it every year. They must do it every year and see kids suffer. They see people the ones that are coping. I say we're all different, but what advice are they giving you to sort of, to cope with all of this? Well, the next 2 years.
Yeah, some of the best and most memorable advice I've received is to pace yourself. Is obviously do your work and do what you can, but you can't hammer it all on. You can't just be like, nah, I'll just put it all in at the end of the day.
Yeah.
They're saying start when you feel comfortable to start. And remember, it's important to take breaks. It's do this. You can't stress your brain out, because otherwise information is just going to fall out.
All right, okay. Well, just looking around and see if anything was falling out. Would you feel exactly the same way?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's important to definitely pace yourself, yeah, and just try and do bits each day. Obviously, revise a lot more closer to the exam dates, but, I mean, exams are very far away right now, and just do a bit each day so that you're not overloading yourself, but the information's going to be taken in.
Are you disciplined when it comes down? You know, are you thinking, right, I, like you just said, I don't want to overload myself, and I certainly don't want to be under pressure when I get to it, but are you doing enough now so that when you get to it, you don't have to put yourself under enormous pressure?
I think, I revise a lot more because we have a lot of free time, well, study time, when we're in the sixth form. So whenever we get those opportunities, I do think that I definitely get down and do study. And that way you don't have to do so much when you're at home, where there is a lot more distractions and things to do and responsibilities.
Do you know what? I don't think I've ever met two people that actually, because you've said this already, you look forward to going to school. There's nothing that you don't like about you, and you enjoy it. And I mean, that's got to be some of it. Now, because just say, for instance, if you went in and you were like not enjoying it, feeling like you were being treated like children, because I say you have to have that step up, don't you?
Yeah.
And it sounds like your teachers have got it absolutely right. And you know, we should big up that, because teachers get bad press. You know, the Isle of Wight has suffered a little bit in the last few years, but things are being put right. And you're a product of that, which is nice. I, the vibe that I get is two young people that are enjoying school, they're embracing what they're learning, and these are A-level students. These aren't people that are, you know, have to go through the motion and they'll just get their exams. You've got to work hard for these A-levels.
Yeah.
Have you set yourself a target that you know where you want to be? What do you want? Is it a star or whatever?
Yeah, I think it's important to allocate yourself targets, and that's kind of what I've done. I've looked at myself and I say, at minimum, I want to achieve, say, a B.
Yeah.
Also, I can't speak for other schools, but our school has kept the target grade system from high school into sixth form, so they can give you an idea of, look, this is where we want you to be as well, and just something to aim for. And that's really motivating, because it kind of makes you feel like if you get an especially high target grade or something you believe could be a bit out there,
yeah,
it kind of gives you the thought of, oh, well, someone else thinks I can do it. Maybe I can. And in my opinion, that's really inspiring and helpful to power through with.
You don't feel quite so alone, I thought, then. If you feel like your teacher's against you, what chance have you got?
Yeah, of course.
Definitely, I'll get great or easier because you for you and that's what you know what you can achieve and what's achievable, so you're not setting yourself too high or setting yourself too low.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely a good system. I think in my mind I just want to pass. Like if I get a pass grade, honestly I'd be happy. So I don't like to set myself low, but I wouldn't be unhappy with a pass, honestly.
Okay. We're going to talk about textbooks in a minute, because this is some stuff, some bullet points you've written down, and we've also obviously going to be taking some calls as well. And do you want to take a call? I mean, we took some yesterday.
We might as well, yeah.
Come on, let's do it. Hi, who's this?
Hello, is it possible to speak to Laura, please?
Ah, Laura's not in today. She's normally in on Wednesday between 1 and 4, and you've come through to the live social discussion, so you're live on the radio at the moment. All because I wasn't Laura.
I know.
Do you know what? Obviously, she was a lady of years, and it saddens me when, you know, and it's not the best example to do, is it? Just hang up. Because that is kind of rude, isn't it? It's not the best example that person could have set you, is
no.
it? It's a shame on you for just hanging up. You could have said, okay, I'll phone back later. That would have done. anyway, where were we?
Introducing textbooks.
Textbooks, yeah. Do they still have textbooks?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of subjects rely on them. And I mean, I've got 2 or 3 different textbooks to look through now, and some of them are really handy, some of them are less so. I think for me it's how they organise the information. They all have the information in there, but some of them organise it in a way that's very, very easy to digest and very like, here is this, and it follows a format. Yeah. Whereas other them are just, here's a giant chunk of text, let's just read through it. And I think that it's definitely important to have the former example, where it's all laid out for you and easy to understand. Because if you're sat in a classroom or if you're sat at home and you're just presented with this novel of information, some people aren't going to find that very engaging. Whereas if there are images or if there's an easy to read format, or even if it's just split the most important bits of detail into small little paragraphs, it can just make a world of difference, in my opinion.
Okay, you mentioned you were reading a book. This was was this sociology or psychology? You were doing. You were both reading a book, and when you said what the book was, I just looked at you both and went, "What's that then?" Because I thought that wasn't anything to do. Well, is it psychology? What you're doing? You're reading something or you're studying something?
Well, in psychology, we do have a textbook. I don't think we're reading anything separately, but we sort of do social influence, memory, attachment.
Yeah.
Is there a danger of, just throwing it out there, is there a danger of, when you're doing something like that, just say, for instance, if you're doing maths and you're doing sums and stuff like that, you come to the same conclusion, okay? You might go about it in a different way, but you come to the same conclusion. This equals that, and so on and so forth. But if you're doing something like psychology and you've got a textbook, is there a danger that you're going to come up with exactly the same way of doing something or thinking about something?
I think there's a definite risk there, but as you can see on my notes as well, I've written down about discussion-based learning.
Yeah.
Which I think eliminates that problem, because the textbook lays it out in a way that this is what's true, whereas if you can also talk about that with someone, you can kind of throw around different ideas and interpret them a different way. For example, in our psychology, we're marked on our knowledge, our application, and our evaluation of what we've been taught. And the application side of it is linking it to the real world, and how can you use this information? And that side of it is really learned more in the discussion than anything else, because you can make different connections that other people might not have been able to make, and it helps solidify that knowledge in your head.
I would imagine also, by this time, you'd have filtered out the people that are not really interested in it because they would have chosen another subject as well.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing when you look around your class, there is a number, most of the people there, if not all, are fully engaged and they're into it.
Yeah, I mean, there are different levels of engagement between students, but that's to be expected. But as you look around the room, it's difficult to find someone who isn't paying attention or who isn't completely bored out of their mind, because they have at least a minor interest in what they're studying.
Now, so far, on air, you've kind of agreed with each other, okay? But I have to say that when we set you a little challenge, we asked you to write a script on your time at the 4Ps. Your script was completely different to yours, so which was refreshing, so you're not copying each other. So is there anything you disagree with about what Howie's just said about the, you know, the sitting in a class and stuff? Would you? Because I look at it and I think there must be a danger of, if you're reading a book and someone else is reading the same book, yes, okay, it comes down to interpretation. So what's your thoughts on that?
I agree mostly with Jordan. I believe that talking in a class does help you a lot, discussion, but I tend to find that personally, when we're doing a discussion, I don't involve myself too much, just because that's just how I am. I'm sort of trying to keep myself to myself. However, I do believe that hearing people talk around me still helps.
Definitely.
It definitely, if you're psychology is a subject that can engage your own opinion as well on different things, because there are different theories on how things work, and there's no definite answer yet because it's a science and there never really will be. However, you know, talking to people and getting different people's opinions actually solidifies these different arguments in your head, because you can actually picture how they are and how they're going to work in the real world, basically. And it's definitely a good way to remember it.
Okay. It's something that you said that which rings true with me. Believe it or not, I love sitting back, standing back and watching other people talk.
Yeah.
Because you learn so much more. I'm not saying because, you know, you talk too much, Jordan. You know, you miss everything. You don't. It's just that everybody's different. But I sometimes, if you're sat back, you see so much more. You see body language. And I say it's quite a fascinating thing, the old psychology and so on and so forth. So I wouldn't mind just sort of sitting in and watching a class, because I just think it would be
come along to one of our lessons. You'll see a lot.
absolutely fascinating. You mentioned here that friendly teachers can connect with students. Are you saying that teachers that aren't very friendly can't connect with teachers?
No, I believe that the firmer teachers can still connect with students, but I believe that if you've got a nice, friendly, approachable teacher who's just pleasant to listen to, pleasant to talk to, because they're not too assertive, they're not too just like have your own freedom, they're kind of a perfect mix, I think that's a really good opportunity for students to feel comfortable around them. Almost, there's the respect of authority and there's the clear hierarchy of the teacher is still in charge of the classroom, but it kind of makes it feel a little bit more like as if you were with a family member or a friend who you could just talk to. And I think that kind of relationship is important to have with teachers, as long as the authority is still kept and you know that that teacher at the end of the day is still a teacher.
Is there a fine line, Esme?
I do agree. I believe that, you know, if your teacher is actually nice to you and you have a good relationship with teacher, especially in sixth form where there's a smaller classes and you do have more of a relationship with your teachers, it's not only do you want to impress yourself and get good grades, you're kind of, you want to impress them too because they've done so much for you. However, I believe if you're too friendly and, you know, too much of a pushover, eventually, especially not so much in sixth form but with younger years and children that sort of still are children, you're not going to really get very far, because if you're not making them do any work, they won't.
Let's do a bit of psychology here. Just say, for instance, if you had, we both be honest, if somebody just said, just say, for instance, you look at me the last couple of days, I've been bad cop, good cop, I say how it is, and then we try and find the positives in the negatives and so on. And just say, for instance, if I was to just be grumpy and shout and say, look, you've not done this, you need to get your finger out, get on with it. Or if I was to adopt the, I'm really disappointed, I expected better than that attitude. Which one would work on you, Jordan?
Personally, I think the disappointment would work more on me. And I mean, I remember first thing I came in here, you asked me, what do you know about this company? What do you know about Vectis Radio? And I was completely taken aback, because even though I'd known prior that you should still do a little bit of background research, I came in completely unprepared, and you sitting me down and going, look, if we're in different situations, this wouldn't be happening. Like, and you took a firm route. And at first, I'm going to be honest, I was a little bit annoyed. I was like, oh, well, what's this about? But then I kind of, as you made me sit down, look into it, I kind of realised, well, no, he's right. Like, most people wouldn't give me the time of day if I came in without the slightest bit of knowledge of what I'm doing.
Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, Esme?
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
Because you had the same grumpiness, didn't you?
Yeah. definitely, I agree. I mean, I think guilt-tripping people is a good way to actually sort of reinforce something, because you'd like to think that most people have that guilty conscience, and if they feel that they've disappointed someone, it's a lot more hard-hitting than if you're someone's just shouting at you and then you can put them at fault. If you can only put yourself at fault, then that's definitely going to reinforce more, which I think works in teaching, definitely.
So other than this week, has that reared its head in school? Has anybody, has a teacher ever said, look, Esme, I'm really disappointed?
I don't think I recently, I can't remember anything like that happening, but it's definitely happened, otherwise I wouldn't have thought of it.
Okay, what about you, Jordan? Many times he says, because I remember about what you said about yourself a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people come up to me and go, look, you're a good lad and all this stuff, trying to make sure that they know I know that they're not trying to be too harsh. But at the same time, they've gone, there's so much more you can do. Like, so many people, even to my own family, they've turned around to me and was like, look, we respect you, you've got all of this, like, potential, but you're not using it. Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot of talks with a lot of people saying, you're wasting your time. And it does help. Eventually, they get through.
Okay. So on the whole, you're two inspired people, and you've got teachers at school at Ride Academy to thank for that.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
That's a great advert for the school. Brilliant. Thank you. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back in the next little segment. And there must be other things you wanted to add to that, but you only get an hour. And you wanted to talk about the youth of between 12 and 17, the fact that there's not much for them to do.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll chat about that in a wee while. We're going to bring in Oscar as well, who fits the bill. He is that age, and I don't think he said that he had a massive amount to do, so we'll find out in a moment.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
Looking for a taxi? Want a reliable company that offers friendly, affordable service? Then you need Leader Cabs, the island's premier taxi company. Travel in comfort and arrive in style with our top-of-the-range vehicles. Our friendly, well-trained drivers will take you to any destination on the island and beyond. Book today on 01983 33000. Leader Cabs. Quick, easy, safe and secure.
As a business, you have a legal responsibility to dispose of your waste in line with current government legislation. Island Environmental Hygiene Limited are an island company specialising in the collection of sanitary, clinical and hazardous waste, working closely with the Environment Agency to ensure your waste is disposed of legally. Our services are tailored to meet your needs. To find out more, visit islandhygiene.com or call 721 943.
Did you love albums and the sound of music on vinyl? Head up to Paul and Tao Music Lounge for a great selection of vintage vinyl and CDs from across the decades, guitars and accessories. We're at the top of Ride High Street near St John's Hill. We buy and sell records, so pop in and show us your collection. Sit and chat and relax with a coffee. We're open from 9 until 5 from Tuesday to Saturday, and you can call us on 07905 536 541. And if you're liking Elvis, this is the place to go.
For over 70 years, White Building Materials have been the leading supplier of construction and building materials on the Isle of Wight, offering ready-mix concrete, decorative aggregates, concrete blocks, and so much more. They're right here on your doorstep, unless, of course, you haven't built it yet, in which case you need White Building Materials. For more information, or if you have any questions regarding products and services, contact them on 01983 524 822 or check out the website whitebuildingmaterials.com. White Building Materials. Get your asphalt into gear and call them today.
At Scottish and Southern Electricity Networks, we work all year round to prepare for winter and help keep your lights on. But winter can bring all kinds of weather. So to help you get ready, we suggest you download our free PowerTrack app and note down the National Helpline number 105. 105 is the number to call in a power cut. Scottish and Southern Electricity Networks, powering our community. SSEN.co.uk.
The Breeze Restaurant at Island Harbour Marina in Newport are pleased to announce their Winter Warmers. Two meals for only £15 all day from Monday to Thursday. There's cottage pie and fish pie, both served with fresh vegetables, linguine bolognese and garlic ciabatta, corn chili con carne with sour cream and tortillas, and chicken and leek pie with mash and peas. And on Fridays and Saturdays, they're offering two pizzas for only £15, and you can eat in or take away. So come to the Breeze Restaurant at Island Harbour Marina in Newport and try out their bargains for 2019.
West White Audio, the island's technical troubleshooters. Having problems with your phone, or it's on the blink? Maybe your appliances or your building ring tested, just the light fitted. We got it covered. Or friendly reliable Kelvin on 754666 or play.uk. All island coverage.
Broadcasting to you from the Riverside Centre in Newport. This is your Vectis Radio, M104.6.
The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sectors across the island. PC Consultants, an award-winning company celebrating 25 years in business.
Welcome back to part two then. We've got 24 minutes to one on the clock. We've just been joined by Oscar. Say hello, Oscar. Say what you were going to say. Go on. Go on. Say what you were going to say, Oscar. Go on, do it. So we've had to change... I'm only joking. Oscar's in. And just outline this segment, Esme, because you're the expert on this one. This was your topic, wasn't it?
We're going to be talking about how we think that things to do on the island for people 13 to 18 has reduced or become a lot harder to access.
In your town?
Yeah, definitely.
They did away with the ice arena. You've had to fight to keep the swimming pool as well, you know, which is kind of sad. I mean, we haven't got an ice arena or ice rink in Newport, but we have got a swimming pool. There does seem to be a bit of an issue. And it's reared its ugly head. Is it as big as, or is it just something that's happened in the last couple of weeks, you know, with the youngsters outside of McDonald's and people thinking, and they're all roughly the same age. They're all between 12 and 18. And our discussion off air yesterday led us to this point now. And that is, I just feel as though when you get to a certain age, you're too old for youth club. And, you know, you're not old enough to go in a pub. Now, you've got experience of this because you've stopped going to youth club. Why have you stopped going to youth club, Oscar?
Because it's too far away trip to go.
And you also said something else as well. Don't lie. You also said they're too old.
Yeah.
They told you. Did they actually tell you that you were too old?
The Wootton one, I was too old.
So the Wootton one, they said, because that's where you live in Wootton. Yeah. You went to youth club and they said, sorry, son, you're too old. I mean, that to me sounds like we're not actually engaged with young people. You wanted to go. You were disappointed that you couldn't go. I'm not having to go at Wootton Youth Club, by the way, but you might want to change your policy.
I was a little bit disappointed, but then again, I get
stop, stop crying, Oscar. See, he was that disappointed. How long ago was this?
About 6 months ago.
So 6 months. You'd have even been. You'd been 15 then. So how old are you now? 16?
16.
So when was your birthday?
February.
So you would have been 16?
Yeah.
Okay, so your birthday's coming up very soon.
Yeah.
He got that in there because it's coming up in a couple of weeks' time. When is your birthday, Oscar? Come on, when is it?
12th.
The 12th, all right? So he wants presents and everything. Just thought I'd chuck that in. So what do you think, being too old to go to a youth club at the age of 16? Does it hammer home the point that we're trying to make?
Yeah, I think it's unnecessary. I understand that the desire to separate the older kids from the younger kids, but I think a much better way to go about it would be possibly to introduce a different area or to have a place for the older kids to go where they can still have that ability to go to youth club, but they don't have to be around all the young kids who still want to do whatever a young kid wants to do.
Okay, interesting. I know that Oscar mentioned the youth club in Brading, which I know that there's a lady there's been doing this for about 36 years. She's actually got an MBE, and she's a really, really lovely lady, and she puts young people in the town of Brading first. When you think you've got it bad in Ryde, you just imagine living in Brading. There's nothing in Brading.
Yeah.
There was a young man that did our... He was our apprentice for a year, and he came from Brading. And he ended up going to this youth club, you know, at a very early age. And he was still going to age 20 because there was nothing else to do in Brading.
Wow.
And you think, well, that's even sadder. But it's... I would imagine if you were on the mainland, we said this yesterday, if you were on the mainland, it would be easier to get from A to B. I'm not having to go at Southern Vectis or anything like that, but there just seems to be, you know, if you live in a rural area or you need to get somewhere, it's a bit more of a bind than if you were on the mainland. You could just jump on a train or something else and you'd be there within a couple of minutes.
Yeah,
that's so let's strip it back and say, right, okay, that's the problem. How do we fix it in your eyes? How do we fix it, Esme? What do we do?
I think it's very difficult. I think they can easily make youth clubs for younger people, which is great, and obviously I'm not knocking the service, that's amazing. Why can't they make youth clubs dedicated for older people as well, you know, sort of between the ages about 15 to 18. I don't think it's impossible. However, I don't think if they did make one, I don't know if I'd personally want to go to it. It's hard to, like, attract these sorts of people because, I don't know, we feel like we're too old for it.
Okay. So what happens when you do get to 18 and you're 18 next year, this year?
End of this year, yeah.
End of this year. Will something be switched on where you think, oh, I can go down the pub now? And will you?
Well, that's again, because all the nightclubs that are on the island, I think we talked about this yesterday, they're gone. There really isn't a nightlife for people that are 18 either. Obviously I can go out with friends, but that's what I've been doing now. You know, I don't think anything's really going to change in that respect, because the pubs are sort of gated towards older people, and there isn't really anything for 18s either.
Okay. It's interesting. I mean, you know, the club scene we mentioned yesterday... You know, there were, in my day, because that's what it was my day, the 1980s, there were around between 35 and 40 nightclubs. We've had a discussion on this before in the past. We've named them all, talked about them all. We didn't make them up. That's how many clubs there were. We went round in our minds yesterday in Ryde, that's where you're from, and we managed to pinpoint where there were 7-odd nightclubs. And now... there isn't one in Ryde.
No.
You know, the closest one to you is probably you get on a boat and you go to Portsmouth.
Yeah.
Or you get on a hover and go to Southsea. That's kind of sad when we used to have a thriving night life and we haven't now. And yet, you know, there's still youngsters that are coming through, you know, the ages. And there's, hang on, it's disappeared. The life's disappeared. Mm. Where's it all gone to? I think the nightclub side of things, we're never, ever going to get back. But how we address that problem between the ages of 12 and 18, I think if you can find an idea, I think you'd be a multimillionaire, because it's been the same problem for so many years. How do we address it? We ask young people, what do you want? Is there a situation where maybe on the continent they will allow people to drink at the age of 16, but only certain things? Maybe it's a case of, you know, if you were in a situation where you could actually go to a place aimed at people of a certain age, and you say, right, okay, we're going to allow you to do grown-up things within a limit, i.e. spirits, no go. Wine, no go. Light beers, that's a possibility, but you're only going to have X. You can only have so much, because after that, you know, you become... drunk and silly and so on. I'm not saying this is a great idea. I'm just saying it's a compromise, because the alternatives are that you go out and you go and buy spirits, or you get somebody else to buy them for you, and you sit in a road, you know, making a nuisance of yourself. I mean, in there somewhere may be some kind of compromise. What would you feel about that?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a good idea. I think if that was available, that would definitely be something that I think I would go to, or friends would go to. I think people might start to abuse it and bring in spirits. I can imagine people would do that, but I mean, it's no better than what we have now. You know, people are going to do it anyway. People of my age will bring in spirits to places, and it happens all the time. So I suppose it's definitely the better alternative.
Well, see, the thing is, you know, that there'll be people of a certain age, they'll be horrified by what we've just suggested that we may do. The alternatives are quite simple. These youngsters will go and find it elsewhere and be in an environment that could quite possibly be dangerous.
Yeah, definitely.
Surely it's best to be in a situation where it's monitored. But you don't want to monitor it too much, because otherwise you feel like, well, hang on a minute, this is just youth club with beer.
Sure, a lot of people wouldn't turn that down either, though.
Well, are you that desperate to drink beer?
No. Personally, I mean, I think the idea could work. But even aside from that, I mean, there are many teenagers like myself who aren't interested in going out and drinking and
sure.
staying out. I think we brought up the we were talking about Ride Theatre yesterday, weren't we?
Yes. Yeah.
And how nothing happens there anymore. And if I'm sure it must be so difficult to get that working again, but if it were possible, that could open the door for so many people. And when we were also discussing. What was it, where Barclays is in Ride Town? That used to be a theatre as well.
It did, yeah. Yeah, and I forget which theatre, but yeah, it's...
But all of these different things, I mean, that could have been... Even aside from the youth, that could be a massive thing for tourism as well.
I mean, we talked about this yesterday, and I actually think that that is probably the closest thing to a good idea to solve this issue. Because I think through music and having, just say, if I had the money, I would go and buy Ride Theatre and I would say, right, we're going to aim this at musical bands from the island, but on certain days of the week, it's just going to be aimed at people that are under 18.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not going to turn anyone away for being too old at the age of 16, like poor old Oscar was at youth club. We are going to aim this... And we're going to become a centre of excellence for music and so on and so forth. And you can kind of chuck in the fact that, yeah, OK, we're going to do this. And if you're not music, then you're isolated. No, we make a start. Yeah. We make a start and we say, look, we picked on something here. And just say, for instance, you don't have to have an interest in music. These places will need somebody to look after, you know, drinks and stuff behind a bar that will be serving non-alcoholic drinks on certain nights. So somebody would need to be able to do that, you know, be trained up as a it opens up so many different ways of communicating and showing people what the next level is going to be.
And there are so many organizations that I can think of that would benefit from it. I mean, Platform One, they've got their own place in Strings, and that's the only place I can think of where they'd be able to access. So you could possibly hire out for them. Spotlight, a theatre company for kids, could maybe see if they could do like pantos there. There'd be so many different places and opportunities. So, because obviously the theatre for children right now is fairly limited on the island. Mm. You've got the organisations and whatever they can organise, but other than that, that's about it.
You just stumbled. We're creating this idea, and we've just taken it one step further. We've said music, and now you know you don't just do music. You tread the boards as well, don't you?
Yeah.
So there you go. You could have music nights. You could have you know, treading the board kind of nights, acting, plays, that sort of thing. And you know, not everybody's going to be into it.
No.
But it's a start. It really gives a start.
Options, because your youth club idea would appeal to a certain audience. Other people might not, so that won't completely eliminate the issues that we've seen. If we had one thing that was quite broad, it might not appeal to any people, because they're like, oh, well, this isn't for me. It's too broad. It's too whatever. So I think if we had some more niche things specifically targeted to a certain group, that might eliminate more of the problem, in my opinion.
Okay, this is an idea, and I say, look, maybe we should take these kind of ideas and take them to, you know, local councils, Ride Town Council, the council, and say, hey, look, I mean, how sad is it that we've got this lovely theatre that you walk by every day? You must see it every day you just think, I know what it was like on the inside. It was a proper theatre. It was awesome. It had a wonderful stage. It's probably gone to rack and ruin and need a bit of cash spent on it. But hey, look, if somebody took the time and the trouble to say, look, let's go for some lottery funding here. it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Lottery funding. Let's try and put this thing back to where it should be. But we're not going to do it for business people. We're not going to do it for the businessmen. We're going to do it for our own peeps and for the future. You know, local music is a wonderful thing. Local acting is a wonderful thing.
Absolutely.
It goes hand in hand with what they've already achieved. And we should look at these achievements and think, what a wonderful achievement that is at Platform One.
Yeah.
What they've been doing, I don't know whether you've actually spent any time in the place, but it is a fantastic place, and what the work that they're doing is incredible. And there is a lot of good things out there. We should never underestimate the good work that we all have done and the things that are out there. But this would be the icing on the cake, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
To have an area like that where you can say, right, we're now going to teach acting, singing. You know, you can become an artist overnight. So and so's playing there on Thursday night. They're under 18. How great would that be? And I'm pretty sure that the youngsters from all around the island, schools would be involved and be supportive, and they would have something. They would more importantly, they would have something that was theirs. I used the term yesterday off air when we were talking about this. These youngsters that are between 13 and 18, I'm plucking figures out of the air, they're kind of the wilderness years.
Yeah.
They are the wilderness years because the youth clubs don't want them and the pubs don't want them either. So, you know, okay, not all of them end up on the street. You don't.
No.
So not all of them end up on the street, but you've got to give them something. And at the moment, yes, there are things out there. Generally, they cost. Yes, there are youth clubs. We've already said that, you know, that Oscar's gone into one youth club and been told he was too old. I don't know whether they have a youth club in Newport anymore. They had a brilliant youth club in Newport where I think HTP are now, very close to the town.
Yeah.
And hundreds used to descend on this place during the course of the week. It was a brilliant place to be, but they don't do that anymore. So where are they going? Are they hanging out on the streets? Well, not all of them. Some of them. So maybe we've got to, you know, think about it and address it.
Yeah.
But then you get the other wilderness years where you're too old for Christmas and you haven't got any kids, so Christmas means nothing to you. But then at the age of 23, 24, you might have a child. Then all of a sudden, those wilderness years again are over. But these wilderness years, they've been going on for so long for these youngsters.
Yeah.
No one's ever, I don't think, had the proper joined up thoughts and made it work and followed it through.
It is a shame because obviously, like, anywhere between the ages of like 13, 14 and 17 or 18 is like quite a crucial time for someone. It can turn someone's life into so many different options. If someone does do a drama group and they decide they love it, that could be a potential career for them. If they decide they don't like it, then that's an option ruled off. If they go to a youth club and they love it, then that's something they could pursue. I don't know where it would take them, but there are paths that could take them down. And it's such a shame because it's, in my opinion, it's getting increasingly more difficult to figure out what you want because, like, what you want to do, because it's so hard to know what it's like. If someone can grow up thinking, oh, I want to work in a hospital, I want to be a doctor, because they see it on TV and they think, oh, that looks really nice, that looks really cool, that looks like me. But then again, when you actually do it, you might discover that that's not at all what you want to do. And there isn't that opportunity, and I can't speak for what it used to be like, I have no idea. But from what I've heard and from what I think, like, yes, there are so many opportunities open to students now and stuff, but outside of school, there's not that freedom, there's not that ability to do what you want. It's kind of limited.
Okay. What about parents? Do we do enough with our parents? We kind of say, oh, you know, we all want to do this and we want to do that. But, you know, do we do enough, like, let's all go out bowling as a family? I don't know whether you do that kind of thing. Does that? Because I'm going to ask you now, Esme, talk us through a basic week of evenings. You're at school in this week. I want you to go through. What do you do Monday night? What do you do?
To be honest, I mean, throughout the week, because there isn't a lot to do, I'll either go to a friend's house or I'll go home. That's pretty much it.
Okay, million-dollar question. If there was something like this set up that was specifically aimed at, you know, what you wanted, how many, would you go, and how many times a week would you go?
Absolutely. I think, obviously, if it it was a late thing. I couldn't do it every day in a school day, a school week, because I wouldn't be able to get up in the next morning. But I mean, once or twice is okay.
It's got to be aimed at your age group, so therefore the times that you could benefit.
Definitely, like a Friday or a Saturday.
Okay.
Definitely.
So what do you do, Saturday and Sunday, what do you do, Saturday evenings?
Saturdays I work, so I'll be at work all day and then I'll probably go home or go out with a friend. I go to cinema quite a lot. I think that's one thing that is quite good for the youth.
So there are things that you can do.
But, I mean, there's not always a film on, so...
No, that's true.
Once you've seen them. But yeah, there was something like that to go to, like, as you said, the Ryde Theatre, that would definitely be something I'd go to, and definitely something that I think my friends would go to as well.
Okay. Interesting. What about you? Basic week?
Yeah, it's pretty similar, I think. I mean, occasionally when I'm with my family, we'll go out and do something. But now that everything's getting a bit more expensive and we're getting a bit older, especially, as I said yesterday, my little sister, things are getting a bit more difficult. It's hard to really do things as a family now.
Is it? So, or is that an excuse?
Well, that's the thing. I tell myself it's difficult, but I could easily go and sit down with them. There's a part of me that goes, like, I want to do this. It's something I want to do. But when it actually comes down to it, it's a bit like school. It's just like, but there's this other thing I could do. And it is a real shame, because I feel like I'm not the only one who experiences that, and it's something that I personally need to work on.
Okay, just say for instance, if I was a multi-millionaire, and I've told you what I would do, but I'm thinking, would I do it knowing that it was going to be a success? Because what I don't want to hear is, well, yeah, I might use it, I might not.
No,
and that will be the worry.
Yeah.
We're gonna put so much emphasis on this is what we're gonna do. It's gonna be great, and then people go, oh, do you know what? I'd rather hang out on the street, or no, I'm busy. I'm at home doing some homework and stuff, and I don't really want to put the effort in. And that would be my main concern.
Yeah.
And it's almost like that's almost like an island mentality. I don't suppose you'd get that anywhere else, but here. But the only way to do it is to try it. It really is. And, you know, if you had something like that, and I know that there are similar things in similar areas, but money's tight on the island, we know that, but you've got this wonderful theatre that is just there, rotting away, and all it needs is something. What do we get? Have we got some funding for it? If somebody said, right, we're going to do this, we're going to go get some lottery funding, we're going to do this place up, and we're going to allocate, one of the reasons why we're getting the funding is because we're going to allocate at least 3 or 4 nights to the under-18s.
Even if it doesn't become a theatre, that building can be used.
Sure.
Even if it is completely something completely different, that building is just there at the moment. It's complete wasted.
Have you got any questions, Oscar? Because you just go, wake up, Oscar. Oscar, wake up. Well, have you got any questions? Hurry up, because I've only got 2 minutes to go. He hasn't. Yeah, he's coming really prepared. Oscar, never mind. Yeah. You'll be prepared next time. Okay, is there anything you want to add before we go? Because time's running out.
Well, I think, again, with the theatre, I mean, I used to live very, very close to it, and it's just a building that I used to see every day, and it's just nothing has been done in years. And it's got graffiti all over the back of it, too. There's a lot that needs to be done. And it's,
I've said this before, I'll say it again, and people don't like it. Tough, deal with it. That is grown up made.
Yeah.
That mistake there, that place closed, going to rack and ruin, is grown up made. Don't hold kids responsible for that. That is down to grown ups that have messed up the situation. And what a sad state of affairs that is. Sorry, we went off on one. Go on, finally, you have the final word.
I don't really have much to add. I mean, I think I agree with what you said about the grown-up stuff, where because of the age of voting and all this, we don't get a say, really. I mean, it's all well and good being like, oh, well, what do you want? But do people listen? We need to know that we're being listened to, and I think that is something that
can
be worked on.
Sorry, we've got to go. Sorry to cut across you.
No, it's fine.
That's such a point. We've got to go. thank you for being great guests, not just for today, but all of this week. It's been an absolute pleasure
thank
to spend some time
us.
With you both.
Yeah,
right.
Thank you for having us.
You're very welcome. Stand by, Kitty and Shazza, they're on the way. Say goodbye, Oscar.
Bye.